Once again, I'm going to ask your indulgence to allow me to read from my big print Bible, but you are welcome to follow along as I read first from John chapter 5, starting with verse 31. John 5, 31, and I'm going to be reading then until the end of the chapter. And there we have words of the Lord Jesus, where he says, "If I testify about myself, my testimony is not valid. There is another who testifies in my favor, and I know his testimony about me is valid. You have sent to John, and he has testified to the truth. Not that I accept human testimony, but I mention it that you may be saved. John was a lamp that burned and gave light, and you chose for a time to enjoy his light. I have testimony weightier than that of John. For the very work that the Father has given me to finish, and which I am doing, testifies that the Father has sent me. And the Father who sent me has himself testified concerning me. You have never heard his voice, nor seen his form, nor does his word dwell in you, for you do not believe the one he has sent. You diligently study the scriptures, because you think that by them you possess eternal life. These are the scriptures that testify about me. Yet you refuse to come to me to have life. I do not accept praise from men, but I know you. I know that you do not have the love of God in your hearts. I have come in my Father's name, and you do not accept me. But if someone else comes in his own name, you will accept him. How can you believe if you accept praise from one another, yet make no effort to obtain the praise that comes from the only God? But do not think that I will accuse you before the Father. Your accuser is Moses, on whom your hopes are set. If you believed Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote about me. But since you do not believe what he wrote, how are you going to believe what I say?" And then from the Old Testament book of Deuteronomy, Deuteronomy chapter 29, towards the end of the chapter there, Deuteronomy 29, starting with verse 22 and reading through verse 29. "Your children who follow you in later generations and foreigners who come from distant lands will see the calamities that have fallen on the land and the diseases with which the Lord has afflicted it. The whole land will be a burning waste of salt and sulfur, nothing planted, nothing sprouting, no vegetation growing on it. It will be like the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, Adma and Zebulun, which the Lord overthrew in his fierce anger. All the nations will ask, 'Why has the Lord done this to this land? Why this fierce burning anger?' And the answer will be, 'It is because this people abandoned the covenant of the Lord, the God of their fathers, the covenant he made with them when he brought them out of Egypt. They went off and worshipped other gods and bowed down to them, gods they did not know, gods he did not give them. Therefore the Lord's anger burned against this land, so that he brought on it all the curses written in this book. In furious anger and in great wrath, the Lord uprooted them from their land and thrust them into another land, as it is now. The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things revealed belong to us and our children forever, that we may follow all the words of this law." And for our text, for our meditation, these words from verse 29 of Deuteronomy 29, "The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things revealed belong to us and our children forever." And then these words of Jesus from John 5, the verses 39 and 40, "You diligently study the scriptures, because you think that by them you possess eternal life. These are the scriptures that testify about me, yet you refuse to come to me to have life. Congregation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, few things in life are as exciting as secrets. We all seem to love secrets and mysteries. Murder mystery books are always on the bestseller list. People love to read them. Imagine your excitement if somehow, somewhere, you suddenly discovered an old yellowed map, a treasure map that would lead you to a secret buried treasure. The very thought makes our blood run a bit faster. Throughout history, there have been those who have thought of the Bible as a book of secrets and mystery. They claim that other Christians, those who came before them through the generations, have never been able to solve the mystery of the Bible, while they suddenly have unlocked the secret. Already in the second century, in the days of the early church, there was a man named Montanus who lived in the Roman province of Asia, what is today Turkey. He claimed that already by his time, the church had misinterpreted the Bible. They didn't understand the words of Jesus in John 14, verse 16, where Jesus says, "I will pray to the Father, and he will give you another counselor." Montanus claimed that these words of Jesus pointed to him. Montanus. He was this new counselor, and the counsel that Montanus gave to his many followers was that Christ was going to return before the end of the second century, and he would establish paradise on earth once again, right in Montanus' own hometown there in Asia. History proves that Montanus was dead wrong. He had not discovered the Bible's secret. He unlocked no mystery. He just troubled the church and led many people astray by the inventions of his own mind. The words of Jesus in John 14 pointed to the blessing of the Holy Spirit, who was poured out upon the church at Pentecost. That is the clear teaching of Scripture. The claim of Montanus that somehow these words in a mysterious way pointed to him as the new counselor, that was totally, totally false. Closer to our own day and age, and closer to home, in the year 1831, down in the States, a man named William Miller, he publicly declared that he had solved the greatest mystery of all. He knew when Jesus was returning to earth. Through various fantastic, complicated calculations, using or misusing texts drawn from especially the Old Testament books of Ezra and Daniel, Miller claimed that he knew that Jesus would return between March 21st, 1843, and March 21st, 1844. And many people believed him. And they got all excited. They actually believed that Miller had found the Bible's secret. I think we can confidently say that Miller was wrong. March 21st, 1844 came and went, and Jesus did not return, and here we are. And the followers of Mr. Miller were greatly disappointed, but one of them, a man named Samuel Snow, he declared that he had solved the mystery, this puzzle, by his study of the Bible. He had discovered the secret that Miller missed. Mr. Snow declared that William Miller had the right year, 1844, but the date was wrong. The secret of the Bible, said Mr. Snow, was that Jesus would return on October 21st, 1844. That was the day of Christ's return. He had solved the mystery. Many of the followers of Miller and Snow gave away all their possessions. They quit their jobs. As the evening of October 21st drew near, they put on white robes and they climbed up the nearest hill. And they waited through the night and on into the next day. And they were greatly disappointed. Even closer to our own day, but just in 2011, the owner of Family Radio, a supposedly Christian radio network, Harold Camping, he declared and broadcast it far and wide that he knew the secret of the Bible, that Jesus was going to return in 2011. Do some of you remember that? How that news spread? It was even reported in the public press. And the followers of Mr. Camping believed him, and some of them, they gave away their possessions, they signed away their houses. But the date set by Harold Camping came and went, and his followers discovered, to their great dismay, that he had not discovered the mystery of the Bible. He was wrong. The spiritual tragedy of Montanus, of William Miller, Samuel Snow, Harold Camping, and many others like them who supposedly have uncovered the Bible's secret, that kind of tragedy, dear Christian friends, it's no small matter. Over the centuries, thousands and thousands of people have been led astray by the false claims of those who say that they have searched out the secret of the Scriptures. If we are going to avoid such spiritual disaster, then we had better know how to use the Scriptures rightly. We began to look at that at our first service. We saw that no one has a magical Bible. The Bible is not a magic charm. The Word of God reveals to us salvation in Jesus Christ. And with a clear knowledge of this fundamental principle, then we are, you are, I am, to diligently search, to search the Scriptures. Now in John 5, verse 39, we have a rare occurrence. There we see the Lord Jesus, in a way, giving a compliment to the scribes and Pharisees who were so often the object of his very just and righteous criticism and condemnation. To a certain extent, the Lord is saying that the scribes and Pharisees were doing something that was at least a little right. And the Lord Jesus did not often speak about them in such a way. But it was true. The scribes and Pharisees searched the scriptures. They diligently studied the scriptures. Their Bibles, their, in those days, scrolls of the Old Testament, they didn't sit up on some shelf covered with dust. Not at all. Those scribes and Pharisees did not just read their favorite passages over and over. They studied diligently. They searched the scriptures. And their object was to find eternal life. How praiseworthy, how good. That's why God gave us his word, that we might find life. And the Bible's message is no secret. It's plain. The Bible tells us the message of salvation. It tells us how we can obtain new life. It is by God's grace alone, through faith in Jesus Christ alone. Unfortunately, the scribes and Pharisees did not see it that way. Oh, they searched the scriptures, all right, and they were seeking eternal life, which sounds fine. The trouble was, in their opinion, the Bible was nothing more than a legal textbook. They thought that they had unraveled the mystery of eternal life by using the Bible as a book of laws, rules and regulations, and that only. And they were teaching the people that they could gain eternal life. They could earn eternal life by very, very carefully keeping all those laws. Thus, as many of the Jews in Jesus' day searched the scriptures, they let themselves be led only as far as God's law and no further. Their secret key to understanding the word was to look for rules, look for regulations, and then keep them. It's every man for himself. You know the rules. Keep them and you'll earn your salvation. And as a result, they would not come to Jesus and receive him as their Savior. But Jesus teaches us the true message of the Scriptures. Christ says in verse 39, "It is they that bear witness to me." Why did God give us his word? To reveal his Son, Jesus Christ. The scriptures were not given by God as a mystery book. They were not given so that we could amuse ourselves by trying to track down all kinds of secrets, past, present, and future. The Bible is not given to us for some kind of entertainment value. It's not the divine equivalent of a murder mystery. When you have a desire to be entertained by secrets and mysteries, well, then go out and buy a book of puzzles. Go and buy an Agatha Christie murder mystery. But when, in all seriousness, it is the desire of your heart to know the plain and clear facts of God's dealings with sinful humanity, when it is the desire of your heart to know God's plan of salvation, then open your Bible, read it, search it, and seek there the Lord Jesus Christ. The scribes and Pharisees read the scriptures, but they thought its message was to reveal a secret puzzle of laws that would enable them to work their own way up to heaven. As a result, they completely missed the true message of the scriptures. And by refusing Christ, they refused life. Montanus read his Bible, but he thought that its secret message was to declare that he was the new counselor with a new revelation from God. So he and his followers missed the true message of the scriptures. When William Miller and his followers, when Harold Camping and his followers thought that they had unlocked the mystery, the day of Christ's return, they were misusing the scriptures, and thousands were bitterly disappointed. The Bible itself declares in Deuteronomy 29, verse 29, "The secret things belong to the Lord our God." The secret things belong to the Lord our God. But the things that are revealed belong to us and our children forever. Do we have enough faith to take God at his word? Can we learn to be content with the things that are revealed, that belong to us and to our children? In his word, God plainly reveals his will for our lives. He plainly reveals his Son and the salvation that Jesus won for us by his death and resurrection. If we will use the Bible, then, to find the Savior, the one sent by the Father, then, says Jesus, the result is life. Christ Jesus came into this world to bring to his people, to give to us his people, the wondrous gift of life eternal. The scribes and Pharisees refused to hear this message of salvation. They searched the scriptures, but they would not come to the Christ of the scriptures. And Jesus' own judgment upon them was in verse 40, "You refuse to come to me that you may have life." As we turn to the word of God, let us make sure that we are not on some mystery tour or a hunt for secrets. Let us make sure that we are seeking Christ Jesus. And the sure promise of God is that those who seek him will ever surely find him. If that is the desire of our hearts, of your heart and mine, when we open the Bible, then we will see there as clear as crystal the message of salvation in Jesus Christ. And by finding Christ, we will be finding life. Dear Christians, how we handle the word of God is literally a matter of life and death. It's a matter that confronted people long ago and confronts people today. It was on the news not long ago because it was the sad 50th anniversary of the terrible tragedy that took place in Jonestown in Guyana, where several hundred people died. That there too was a man, this Jim Jones, who claimed that he had unlocked the Bible's secret. Jones claimed that the Bible pointed to him and that it declared that he had gifts of prophecy and insight. And his disciples believed him, and they followed him all the way to the jungles of Guyana. And there they found not the paradise of life that Jim Jones had promised them, but death. These people had their Bibles, but they allowed Jim Jones' fantastic claims to mislead them, to lead them away from Jesus, literally to death. How we handle the word of God is a matter of life and death. Dear friends, use the scriptures as God intended them to be used, as the means by which to bring us to the Lord Jesus Christ and to life in his name. When today you hear claims of those who say that, the secret of the scriptures has been revealed to them, when you hear fantastic stories of hidden mysteries revealed, be careful. Remember the claims of Jim Jones and William Miller of Montanus of the Scribes and Pharisees. For all their claims, they misused the scriptures and turned aside and turned many others aside from the way of life. Remember the words of the Lord Jesus. It is they, the scriptures, that bear witness to me. Let the secret things belong to God. Let us find a wonderful contentment, that contentment which is to be found in the Bible's message, that God sent his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to be our sacrifice, our hope, our Lord and Savior. When by faith we stake our claim upon that clear and simple message, we are finding life eternal. And we will have the joyful knowledge that we have used God's word in the way that he intended it to be used, to bring us to the foot of the cross, to bring us to the door of the empty tomb, to bring us to Jesus, our crucified and risen Savior, to fellowship with him in the communion of the saints. That is the joy of finding, my friends. That is the joy of finding, not the Bible's secret, but the Bible's message. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that the Holy Spirit sent by you may work powerfully in our hearts, that it will be our desire, together here as a congregation under the guidance of the pastor and elders, and also personally in our homes, to search the scriptures. But, Lord, help us to do that rightly. Put the desire in our hearts to search the scriptures in order to find there the one truly revealed, your eternal beloved Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Lord, we pray that you will give us that good guidance and that our searching of the scriptures may bring us to Jesus, who gives to his disciples life eternal. Amen.